Take your Bibles, if you would, with me this morning, the Holy Word of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61, page 620 this morning. Page 620 in the pew, in the Bibles, in the chairs in front of you. Isaiah 61. It's good to see you all this morning. Thanks for coming to the house of the Lord. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down and read verses 8 through 11. Isaiah 61, page 620, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Verse 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. It's the day of the week when everything stops in this small town. No one does any work. As a matter of fact, it's considered to be unlawful to work. To work is to break all the rules that man has established for so long, considered important for so long. Many a judgment has been made against any person who dared break the rules. The custom on this particular day of the week is to gather at the local assembly, the church. There's the usual ritual of worship. Someone leads a prayer. Someone leads out in a song. Someone else reads the scripture. And of course, everyone brings an offering. You never, never go to the house of the Lord without bringing an offering. On this particular day, there seemed to be something a little different. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe a little more energy in the air, some excitement. There's been a lot of talk lately about this guy who lived out in the wilderness like a crazy man. He had this message he seemed to be delivering from God. He kept preaching to the people to repent and to prepare the way for the Lord. For he said that a time was going to come when all flesh would see the salvation of God. He was always quoting the prophet Isaiah, who had lived hundreds of years before him. And you know what? Lots of people took the preacher man seriously. They would go out to the wilderness and they would listen to the voice of this guy crying out there in the desert, and he would baptize them when they had a desire to repent of their sin. One day, while he was preaching and baptizing people, along comes another man. I don't know what it was about him that caught the preacher man's attention, but it did. And suddenly, standing right there in the middle of the river, while he's baptizing people, the preacher man turns and he sees this other guy come walking towards him. And the preacher man says to the people, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." A lamb? Since when is a man ever called a lamb? And what's this business about this lamb taking away the sin of the world? You know, the most curious thing happened that day. That man who came walking, this lamb, he walked right down into the middle of the river where the preacher man was baptizing people. And he walked right up to the preacher man and he said to him, "I want you to baptize me right now." I'm telling you, you could have heard a pin drop. Well, actually, most people that day weren't too sure what they heard. You see, as soon as that preacher man baptized the lamb man, there was this dove that came down out of nowhere and it landed right on the lamb guy's shoulder. And then there was this voice. And nobody knows where that voice came from, but it sounded like the voice said, "This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased." Who said that? Some people thought it just thundered. You know what was really curious about that event? All of a sudden, this lamb guy, he was gone, just like that. He vanished, and nobody knew where he went. He just kind of like disappeared. There was a lot of talk around our little town about those events. Folks were still hashing it over as they gathered that day at the local church. It had been almost 2 months since that lamb guy had come and gone out in the wilderness. Everybody was kind of settling in that day at the church, getting ready for worship, when suddenly this guy walks in and he walks right up to the front of the church. And I tell you, there were some mouths hanging open that day. Probably a few gasps went through the crowd. Someone whispered, "That's the lamb guy. He's back." Others said, "Are you crazy? That's our local boy. We know him. He's here. We know his mom and his dad. We know the house he grew up in." You know what was really remarkable? He walked right up to the front of the church that day, and somebody handed him one of the scrolls of Scripture to be read. And do you know which one? The scripture of Isaiah, the prophet, the same Isaiah that the crazy preacher man out in the wilderness was constantly quoting about preparing the way for the Lord. The lamb guy, He took that scroll that day in front of the whole church and he began to unroll it. And I don't know, it was just as if he was looking for a particular spot. You could tell he found what he was looking for. And he began reading out of that Isaiah scroll, and this is what the Lamb guy read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When he got done reading, he rolled the scroll back up and handed it back. And he went and he sat down. I tell you, every eye in the whole church was focused on him. You could almost hear the wheels turning in their heads. I wonder why he read that. Who is this lamb guy talking about? Who are these poor and these blind and these captive and these oppressed people who need a favor from God? What's with that Spirit of the Lord anointing him business anyway? Is he talking about people back in Isaiah's time? Or is he talking about people today? The lamb guy? He didn't leave us wondering very long. Right after he sat down, do you know what he said? He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I mean, this is unbelievable. The lamb guy is taking the words of Isaiah spoken 700 years ago and he's literally applying it to himself. He seemed to be indicating that his life and his ministry was going to change people's lives. He has good news to talk about, he said. And apparently, if people will listen to him, something drastically good will happen to those people. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I went home from that church service and I pondered those words all day long. I couldn't even sleep that night. Who's he talking about? I got up early the next morning. I decided I needed to get to the church as quickly as I could possibly get there. I needed to look again at that Isaiah scroll, and I needed to find the place that that lamb guy was quoting from. I had to look at it for myself, and I did. And do you know what I found? According to what Isaiah had written, This lamb guy, he had come for a very specific purpose. It was like he had a mission from God. The scripture said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. And I read that, and I read it again, and I read it again. And then I remembered what the lamb guy said. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Could it be? Is this the one who's been prophesied about down through the ages? Is the Lamb guy the Messiah? Is that why the preacher man out in the wilderness said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? I could hardly get my breath. Then my eyes fell down on the next lines in the Isaiah scroll. And I read what his purpose was for coming: to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to comfort those who mourn. And I wondered out loud again, who are these people? He must be going to do something significant, because it said there that he was going to give them the oil of gladness instead of mourning and the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Who wouldn't want that? I read further that he was going to make an everlasting covenant with them. He's going to clothe them, Isaiah had recorded, with garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness. And I wondered out loud again, who are these people? I really don't know what happened that day. But suddenly, I just knew. I realized in my own heart that the Lamb guy who takes away the sin of the world had come for me. I was broken, because deep in my heart, I knew I was that poor person who needed his good news. I realized that my life was all broken up because of the way I was living, and I was the one who needed him to put me back together in a new way. I needed the healing inside of me that only the Messiah could give to me. You know what really did it? What pushed me to accept what he offered me? It dawned on me that I was the one who was living in the bondage of the prison of sin and shame, and that it was me that the Messiah had come to set free. It was me. It was like this light suddenly turned on inside of me, and I understood that the Lamb guy, he wasn't a guy at all. He was the Son of God who had come to offer himself in my place. He came to die so that I might live forever and ever. I thought to myself, it's no wonder that Isaiah wrote, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." I mean, how can anybody contain themselves when they realize the joy and the freedom and the deliverance that God through His Son has given them? How do you keep quiet about something like that? Who wouldn't rejoice when the brokenness of your life is healed and made beautiful by God's precious gift of grace? I remembered those words in another place in Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes, we are healed. He poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. And I knew that the Messiah did that for me. In a few days, it's Christmas. All my family's going to gather together. And we'll go to church together and we'll celebrate the birth of the Savior as we always do. But you know what? I realize that there's a much deeper meaning to Christmas than just a baby born in the manger. That was just the prelude to what was to come for all of us. Christmas, it's really the celebration of the one whose life and ministry changes other people's lives. How do I know that? Because when I surrendered my life in faith to Jesus Christ, he changed me.